business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hour.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House says President Trump will start imposing tariffs tomorrow on China, Canada, and Mexico.
President Trump's promised 25% tariff on imports from Mexico and Canada could drive up prices on everything from gasoline to guacamole. Canada supplies most of the crude oil used in U.S. refineries, and experts say gas prices could jump by 50 cents or more per gallon. Meanwhile, Mexico is the top supplier of fresh produce like avocados and tomatoes and limes, so expect grocery bills to climb. And if you're shopping for a car, prices may rise too, since nearly half of all imports come from those two countries. Dave Packer, ABC News.
In Washington, D.C., investigators are working to process evidence collected so far from the Potomac River after that mid-air collision between an American Airlines flight and an Army helicopter. That includes planes, flight data, and cockpit voice recorders. Another hostage and prisoner exchange expected tomorrow in the Gaza ceasefire deal, including the release of an American Israeli. This is ABC News. The Trump administration ordering federal employees to stop putting their pronouns at the bottom of their emails.
The directive sent to employees of multiple agencies instructs personnel to remove pronouns from their email signatures by 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the latest example of the Trump administration seeking to strike all language stemming from diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts in, quote, federal discourse, communications, and publications. Pronouns have never been required in email signatures, and it's unclear what penalties federal workers could face if they fail to remove them.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington. There's a new proposal to change how movie theaters operate. A lawmaker in Connecticut is proposing a bill that would require theaters to list the actual start time of movies so moviegoers don't have to sit through all the ads and promos. Theaters say that revenue is crucial. But the lawmaker says the way movie timings are listed is an abuse of people's time. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
If you love designer brands and you love clearance, then you're going to love this. Macy's is having a huge designer clearance event right now with incredible new designer markdowns on cold weather styles from BCBG, Hugo Boss, Michael Kors, and more. How big are the markdowns? How about Coach boots for $200 or less? So if you're looking for the things you love all in one place, come in and shop the designer clearance event at Macy's today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Ehlin. Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Ben Winkler picks up another endorsement to lead the Democratic National Committee. Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi has joined the growing list of Democrats to back Winkler to serve as DNC chair. Former Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has endorsed Winkler, as have several Democratic governors. Pelosi says Winkler is the candidate best suited to lead to a stronger DNC and many Democratic victories. Winkler's challengers include former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, Minnesota State Party Chair Ken Martin, and Senator Bernie Sanders' former campaign manager Faiz Shakir. The DNC election takes place Saturday. A man accused of killing his two children in central Wisconsin last summer will go to trial.
Victor Manuel Gomez Acosta waived his right to a preliminary hearing on Wednesday before changing his plea to not guilty because of mental disease or defect. A judge then bound him over for trial. No trial dates were immediately set. The 30-year-old is accused of stabbing his children in their Abbotsford trailer home last summer. Investigators say he then stabbed his wife, who required surgery but survived the attack. He was treated and booked into the Clark County Jail, where he is being held on a $1 million bond. He was previously deemed incompetent for trial, but as of December 18th, officials say he can aid in his defense. Tom Schumacher, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Goodyear blimp celebrates its 100th birthday in 2025, and to mark that occasion, the tire maker announced Wednesday that two of those airships will be a part of the 2025 EAA Air Venture Oshkosh. A release says the blimps will take part in flying activities during the afternoon and night air shows, and one will be parked near the EAA Aviation Museum during the duration of the event. Goodyear has sent the blimps to the Oshkosh Gathering for over 50 years. The 72nd fly-in convention is scheduled for July 21st through the 27th at Whitman Regional Airport.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than a half an inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 42.
Talk of disrupted trade in North America put the grain markets on the defensive as the U.S. dollar pushed to the upside. Lean hogs pulled back after trading higher earlier this week, and the cattle complex pushed to the upside ahead of this afternoon's USDA report.
Live from the final info lapse of the week via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Dwayne Bossy from Bolt Marketing. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Report day. Yeah.
Let's find out.
Yeah, cattle inventory report, January 1, all cattle and calves came in at 86.662 million head, which was down 0.59% from year earlier levels. Trade was looking for a down 0.9. So we're down 0.6. Trade was looking for down 0.9. Beef cow herd, down 0.53. The trade was looking for down 0.7. This one's a little surprising to me. The 2024 calf crop. I'm going to look at these numbers again. The calf crop in 2023 was 33.563 million. The calf crop in 24, 33.529 million. Just not much difference at all, down just 0.1%. Trade was looking for a 1.5% drop in the 24 calf crop. Dairy cow numbers basically steady with year ago, and the beef heifer replacements. Trade was looking for a 1.3% increase. Let's get this rebuilding started, right?
Sure, that's what
they were talking about. Up 1.3% was the expectations. It's down 9.97%, so down 1%.
Yikes.
Yeah, leaning in the wrong direction on the beef replacement heifers. So I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Yeah. Seems significant.
Well, and the thing is, if we're not starting to rebuild the beef herd at this point, that means that the heifers are still going on feed.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we've got that supply of beef that's still available to the market. Longer term, it means that we're not rebuilding the beef herd. And our supply situation, the tightness just gets extended that much further. You know, we only get this report once a year. We only got a hit. And to look at this beef replacement heifer number, for the trade to miss it, as big as the miss is here, I think it's kind of a surprise. So
okay.
We'll talk to Dwayne. We'll see if Dwayne Bussey's got any thoughts on this as we go forward in the conversation. Friday afternoon, y'all good? Everything all right?
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Really?
I'm ready. Yeah, baby. Yep.
Really? Ready for the weekend, huh? 48 degrees here in Northeast Iowa.
Yeah. We're only 41 here.
Wow.
Yeah. Still cloudy.
It must be God's country up here.
Still very London-y, isn't it?
Is it? Is
yes.
It? Very good. Well, you know, we got a little bit of rain overnight, and I'm not going to turn it away. We used it. It sunk in. You know, it soaked in. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
Okay, man, let's get started with the markets. What do you got?
Well, Chip, March soft red winter wheat futures opened higher and on session highs and quickly turned to the downside. Front month SRW traded through support at yesterday's low but did manage to hold on to gains for the week. March SRW wheat futures saw a 37¾ cent trading range this week as volatility dumped back into the market. The potential for U.S. tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico was viewed as generally negative for the wheat market. The U.S. dollar rallied sharply on talk about the tariffs, and that limited some buying in wheat. Globally, traders will watch India's growing conditions closely in the month ahead. Weather forecasters see below normal rain for India's wheat areas. March HRW wheat futures were 9 cents lower at 579¼. March soft red wheat down 7 cents to 559½. Let me check your spring wheats here. Last report down 4½ cents at 615¾. Chip?
Yeah. March SRW wheat futures on the week up 15½ cents. HRW March up 19¾. And spring wheat up 20½ cents at the last trade.
Well, corn prices started the session lower after news the Trump administration will initiate tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico. March corn gapped lower and opened near session highs and extended losses throughout the day. That left the downside gap open, with front month corn still holding above support at 480. Central Brazil remains wet this week. That further delayed planting of the Safrinha corn crop, but the forecast features a trend change by the middle of next week in Mato Grosso. Mm-hmm. March corn futures 8¼ cents lower at 482. May corn down 8½ cents, 493. July corn futures closed at 496¾, down 7½ cents.
Yeah, had a little spread movement in the market this week. March corn on the week was down 4½ cents. July corn on the week was down just 0.75 cents. So a little bit of bear spreading in the market this week.
Well, Chip, soybean oil futures were higher today on concern about the Argentine soybean crop. Drought stress is expected next week, with stress intensifying in northern Argentina this weekend. The strength in bean oil futures triggered liquidation of long meal, short bean oil spreads, and lower meal prices pulled soybean prices lower. The soy complex was also on edge, with traders trying to factor in potential impacts of U.S. tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada. March beans opened lower and quickly traded higher before falling back to post new lows for the week. March beans, 2 cents lower, 1042. May beans down 2¼, 1057½. July beans closed at 1072¼, down 2¼ cents. The last bit of that copy sounds a little scary, but we're down 2 cents, Chip.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, you look at what the spreads did today, which was nothing. Mm-hmm. But we did see some movement in the spreads this week, through the course of the week. March beans this week down 13¾ cents. July beans down 7¼. March bean oil up 89 points because of today's big gains. March soybean meal down $3.80 a ton.
Well, March cotton futures posted a high range open and a high range close each day this week, with the market making new lows late in today's trade. March cotton was 39 points lower today at 65.88, Chip.
Yeah, and on the week, March cotton down 173 points.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, February fat cattle futures posted an inside trading day with a high range open and a mid-range close as trade consolidated ahead of the cattle inventory report. February fat cattle 12.5 cents higher at 204.60. March feeder futures up 252.5 to 275.72.5. And on the snout side, February lean hog futures gapped lower and recovered to spike resistance at yesterday's high before posting a mid-range close. February lean hog futures were 20 cents lower at 84.17.5. The April contract down 1.57.5 to 90.35. Chip?
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. February live cattle on the week down just 17.5 cents. March feeder cattle down just 85 cents. But boy, talk about a volatile ride. And we went a long ways to basically go nowhere in that live cattle trade this week. Lean hogs, February contract up 187.5 on the week. Real quick, January 1 cattle inventory down 0.6%. Beef cow herd down 0.5%. 24 calf crop down 0.1%. Beef heifer replacements down 1%. Trade was looking for a 1.3% increase in that beef heifer replacement number. All right, we're going to stay focused on the markets. We've got Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing coming up next here on AgriTalk.
The National Pork Board cares about your farm legacy. New grant opportunities are available to help you steward your land and your future. Are you interested in boosting conservation on your farm to shore up your land and legacy for future generations? Let the National Pork Board help with technical and financial assistance to implement some impactful conservation practices. Get started today. Simply request your Pork Cares Farm Impact Report to explore funding support for these practices. Get started today at porkcares.org.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
That's just feel good right there. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us on this Friday afternoon. And for this conversation with Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in Northeast South Dakota. Dwayne, it's good to talk to you again. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Chip. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, just fine. How's the winter treating you? It's treating us great down here.
Oh, it's been great here, too. I mean, you've got New Orleans with more snow than I've had up here in Northeast South Dakota. So, yeah. Snowblower sitting in the shop, and that's right where I want to keep it.
Yep, yep. What are you thinking of conditions up there? I mean, what's the talk, the chatter? What are you guys fretting over?
Oh, you know, this week there has been a little bit more talk of drought concerns. So slash drought 25 maybe has already started a little bit. But for the most part in my area, especially my tiny little remote area, we deal with so much prevent plant and water sitting and even old water that it's not an issue at all, really, Chip. I mean, in my opinion, actually a dry spring is a bit bearish because that means we're going to get all these acres in these fringe states and prevent plant could drop down to record low levels. And it's kind of what it looks like right now to be Chip. So we might have 1 or 2 million more acres to plant this year.
Okay. Okay. Didn't
that's not all just on my farm, by the way. It's that
don't you wish. Last fall when we talked, weren't you burning off cattails up there?
Yeah, I think I was destroying a little bit of habitat. Yes. Disking cattails. Yeah. Ducks Unlimited weren't really proud of me, I'm sure, that day. But I got to get that stuff back into production. And yeah, we had a great fall that way. Like on our farm where, you know, we're really king of the prairie pothole region here. It seems like just we're part of the bowl. It's hard to get water drained and moved away. It looks good. I mean, I've got fields right now driving back and forth into town that look better than they usually do most spring when I go out and start planting. So we're excited about the future here.
Yeah, good, good, good. I heard you. I heard what you said there, that maybe we were starting the drought 25 talk already. where does that stand as a market factor for you right now?
None. For me, zero. Like, if anything, bearish. If we start getting crazy wet in April, May, actually, I get a little bullish. So that's how backwards I am thinking up here. But remember that prevent plant acreage thing. You know, I hate to be the expert on your show on that because that's not something I'm proud of at all. But that's a big swing. You know, remember in 2019 where we have 19 million acres of prevent plant, and you know the average is around 4. I'm saying we could be down to like 1.5 million this year, and I mean, to me, that's a bearish thing. We got more acres that we need to plant then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we get to the end of the conversation about corn and what's going on in that market, we'll probably talk a little bit more about what those acres might be in 2025. But I want to kind of hold off on that part of the conversation for right now. What is the biggest factor that you see in the grain markets right now?
Well, sadly, I think it's tariffs. I mean, what an unbelievable 24 hours. Yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting at my kid's basketball game, and I get this tweet text from a few other clients that Trump was putting the tariffs on. And, you know, the gears start going in my head. I'm like, well, I got to get back home and, you know, defend the market, sell everything. And then today happened. I mean, they're on, and then, okay, maybe they're off. We might get 11 o'clock hour, like, type save. Oh, wait, they're going on March 1st. And then somehow we skipped February. Now they're going on Saturday again. So, Chip, I mean, the market's held in actually pretty well, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But what a crazy day and a crazy first 11 days to Trump being in office.
Well, that's kind of what we expected. The last I saw, I think there's going to be like a – okay, the relationship with its top two trading partners offering a 28-day window before implementation of a process for exemptions. We may even be looking at a month before this week. They may implement the tariffs, but there could be a 28-day waiting period before they're actually enacted.
Yep. I've seen that too. And then I saw they were back on again, and I really don't. This is a live broadcast, Chip, and we're actually behind on the news. That's how fast this is moving. It's going to make for some crazy times.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know. Interesting. That's for sure. But I think we need to be aware of the market setup and yep. be aware that trade doesn't like uncertainty. And you know, something I'm concerned about is how long the funds are, like in the corn market and cattle market. And if they get nervous and just want out of longs, whether the fundamentals are bullish or bearish, if they just want out, the market's going to go lower. So that's a concern of mine moving forward with these tariffs.
Okay. What is the risk of that? I mean, it seems like the bulls in both corn and cattle did a nice job of defending their positions this week.
You know, they really did. You know, I think I caught you at the beginning. I think corn did close down
yep.
4 cents on the week, and yep. you know, we had a gap today. So it just like you said, but down eight doesn't feel bad considering we may have just put in tariffs on our largest corn buyer, right? Yeah. I mean, there's 300 million bushels that Mexico are still scheduled to ship to Mexico. Like, if that's not being shipped and staying in the U.S., that's a huge problem. So down eight and a little gap lower doesn't sound bad. So you're right, but I don't know. They're defending their positions really well, and I don't like going against the funds because I've been run over several times in my history of trading doing that. You want to go with them, but yeah. it's definitely just cause for concern. I guess what I want people to know is just be aware that the funds are massively long those two commodities we're talking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. And you're right about that gap down in corn. Davis mentioned it in the news, and you got to pay attention when stuff like that happens. It happens for a reason, so you got to pay attention to it when it does happen, don't you?
Well, exactly. Today to me is a great opportunity or example of take all the news back, forth, tariffs on, tariffs off. At the end of the day, the chart still made a mark, right? And the funds like to watch these charts, you know, so we gap lower close for the week. And if we trade a little bit lower next week, then do they lose a little confidence? But then I could also back up and say, maybe this was all just profit taking because it's also the end of the month. So, you know, wow, I've done this for a long time. It still gets fun and interesting and challenging. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It is something that, you know, we got to manage. The fun and the interest is one thing, but managing the risk that comes along with it is something that we need to do every day. Talk to me about the influence of the Brazilian growing season on the corn and soybean market this week. How much influence was there?
Well, it's something we're watching very closely, right? But I got to say, I'm fairly impressed with our soybean market, the fact that we're trading this, you know, 1040 to 1050 area, when the fact is, Chip, within the next month, the month of February, we're going to harvest a monster crop in Brazil. Right now, we're trying to concentrate on the slow start to harvest, maybe some quality issues, and being a producer myself, yeah, let's really push that. Let's make the market go higher. But in a month from now, if you and I talk again, we're going to talk about these monster supplies that really have to move out of Brazil because I don't think they have enough storage for it. So, and China knows that, so they're going to try to get them bought as cheap as they can, and they're probably going to be $1.50 cheaper than our price. So, you know, we're watching the weather, we're talking about this quality issues, but I'm worried what's going to happen in the next month, Chip, and to me it leans a little bearish or unfriendly for the soybean market.
Yeah. You know, some of that soybean meal trading out of South America this last week, they found some sand in it. I mean, come on, guys, that's a trick from the 1970s in the U.S.
It is trade based off weight or sold.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. I mean, that'd be like you and me going, taking a fishing derby together and stuffing them with lead weights before we weigh in. But that's a dirty trick. You can't do that stuff.
No. No, absolutely not. You know, and if it does happen, they'll run you out of town if that stuff happens. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah.
So if they turn those cargoes back because there's sand in the meal, is it a matter of them just blending in some more non-sandy meal to where it reaches just a low enough tolerance of sand? What are they going to do with this?
Feed the whales.
I don't know what they do with it. You know, anyone who's gone to the beach and tried to get sand out of their trunks or their car knows it doesn't happen. I don't know how you get it out of a meal ship and cargo. So, no, I don't know what they do. I think it's a lot of politics. I think China's just positioning themselves to buy everything cheaper.
Yeah, and any kind of a trade issue, conflict, I mean, it's only five locations that they banned banned Brazilian beans from, but they still did it. And it raised speculation that, hey, this could happen even more going down the road. Game plan happening there quite a bit. Okay, we're going to talk more about what's the trends in these markets, what's going to influence prices going forward, 25 outlook, and what to do about it.
Hardest day, the day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where March HRW wheat futures were 9 cents lower at 579 and a quarter. March soft red wheat down 7 cents, 559 and one half. March corn futures were 8 and one quarter cents lower at 482. July corn futures closed at 496 and three quarters, down 7 and one half cents. March soybean futures were 2 cents lower today at 1042. May beans down 2¼ cents to 1057 and a half. March cotton was 39 points lower at 65.88. On your livestock, February fat cattle were 12½ cents higher at 204.60. March feeders up 252½ to 275.72½. February lean hog futures 20 cents lower at 84.17 and one half. Get more, visit profarmer.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
At Advent Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true, we take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Bright, beautiful, and still mild today with highs soaring to the low 40s. While it may be cooler than yesterday, it's still well above average. And heads up, we have snow moving in tomorrow afternoon. It'll be light, less than 0.5 inch, and it could flip to a wintry mix and rain by Saturday night. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 42.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
For the ladies!
That's all I got.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in northeast South Dakota. I'm going back to January 10 and looking at the data that we got that day, Dwayne, and saying, you know what, that kind of changed the markets here. But there's a time limit on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was a great day for producers, for all of us. I mean, whenever you lose supply like we did when it comes to yield, that's taken right off the top right away. But you're right. I mean, we trade that for so long, and then it's on to the next thing, right? And we didn't take enough yield off to have to ration demand in corn or soybeans or wheat, but we just took a burdensome supply and made it, I don't know, more interesting. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what it did was it kind of put the finishing, touches. It extended this rally that we've had in corn since last August. And here we are, we're pushing up on a dollar. What do you do with that?
Quick answers. You got to start to reward it. If you held on to old crop supplies, and we like to do that in the Dakotas, we like to put it in the bin and forget about it, which isn't always the best, but it's time to reward it. And we were doing that this week and kind of pushing guys to start selling the old crop here and maybe start to sell a little bit of new crop. Because like you said, it's a dollar rally when, I mean, our ending stocks are still 1.5 billion. I mean, maybe I've got them a touch lower than that, but the next story I talked about, you got through the January report, then it's on to the next. And the next story is probably the planted acres. And, I just talked about having more acres available. If we're going to gain 5 million acres of corn, that doesn't sound unbelievably bullish either, especially with the funds very long. So I like selling this stuff here. And for new crop, Chip, sorry, I'm rambling. If you don't mind, I'll talk a little bit about
it. Keep going.
Okay, new crop idea we had this week. You know Ryan Wagner really well. He works with us here. We were talking about new crop corn, and we looked at the short-dated new crop March options. Now, that's a mouthful there. So it's options that trade off of the new crop contract, but the March options are only going to last till the 21st of February. That's an important time for producers. You can buy some 460 puts for the next month for about, we were buying them for 4 cents and then for 7 cents today. That's fairly cheap for a month time frame to have a floor on prices that, when I said that's an important time frame, we set our crop insurance prices next month.
Yep.
I'd like to set that as high as possible. If we can set them at 460, that's great. If the market pulls down hard and we're at 445 at the end of February, I have the choice to either take the profit in those puts, or I can let them change to short December corn positions, which are just a hedge then moving forward.
Yep. Excellent. And a couple of things. You mentioned it. We get the spring price established. And we're going to find out how quickly that Safrina corn crop is going to get planted. And that, over the past 3-4 years, has become a bigger and bigger deal for the corn market, right?
Oh, 100%. And I think that's why we're talking put options and not just selling the board, right? Because we're starting at a slow pace. I'm not concerned about it. But if that continues, well, this put option becomes a waste of money and we rally. Because our world stocks, as you guys well know, are going to be very tight for corn and very tight for corn. Let's just stop there. So if Brazil doesn't get that second crop of corn planted, which is that's the corn they'd like to export, boy, all of a sudden I get kind of excited about the 2025 corn outlook.
Okay. All right. You said 5 million more corn acres pretty easily here just a moment ago.
I kind of did, didn't I?
Can we really get that many more?
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid so, and it's because of what you mentioned earlier, too. Look at the price ratios. Soybeans are doing a good job discouraging acres. Wheat, even though I think it's too low, is doing a good job discouraging acres. And then the biggest factor, weather. You're not going to gain the corn acres in your key I states. It's mostly the fringe states. And right now, like I said, we look good. Grand Forks, North Dakota, actually all of Canada, all the major cities in Canada, they have less snow than New Orleans have had this winter. So you want to talk about in a good situation right now to plant early. We are. Now, one rainstorm in late April, early May can change that. But I, right now, Chip, yeah, I'm figuring 95.5 million acres of corn.
Okay, 95.5. How many of those acres come off of beans?
Beans, I got losing about 4 million acres.
Okay.
So there's okay. My, how we gain one is prevent plant, less prevent yep. plant.
Yep. Okay. So if you talked about what this corn market does if we would add that many acres. If you take 4 million acres off of beans, doesn't that leave yep. that market vulnerable to any kind of a production issue?
You just nailed it. You're right. If you plant, say, 83 million acres of beans and you yep. yield 52, we're fine. And I think we're fine because I've got export demand down about 200 million bushels, and we can talk about that too. I'm sorry, that sounds bad, but just this big crop in Brazil, China's economy, I just think demand's going to be poor. But let me get back to what if that yield is 50 bushels an acre? Then all of a sudden we're looking at ending stock lower than we are right now of 380, and that equals some sort of spike rally during the summer.
Okay. Sounds like you've got carryover trend on corn and beans up in 25, 26.
I do. But I mean, it's the end of January. You know, we always do. Yeah. Right now I'm planning yet 181 for a corn yield yet and 52 for beans and an ending stock of just over 2 billion for corn and over 500 million for beans. But you know, last year at this time, USDA had us at 2.4 billion for a care of corn, and now we're down to like a 1.5. So Once again, this job is fun and always changing.
No doubt. Okay. Just real quick. Give me your marketing attitude on those new crop contracts when we're looking at 1050 and 460.
Yeah. Attitude's not great, but I have a really tight window for both this year. We started selling new crop corn. And like I said, I kind of like some guys to put some puts in place here now, some short-term puts in case I'm wrong over the next month. But I'm selling this window from like about 455 up to, man, it's like 505, a very tight window for corn, and maybe too tight. For soybeans, it's kind of actually even tighter, man. From 1050 to 11, I'm willing to sell a lot of my new crop. Okay. And it's funny when we talk about having a weather scare, I say that out loud, Chip, and then I get nervous like, man, Dwayne, that's a really tight window. But I just don't want to get into fall and have guys say we should have sold in January. And like I mentioned in the previous session, I'm nervous that the funds are so massively long corn now. Who does that leave to buy it during the summer? So get some hedges in place. You know, we can always buy call options back if something gets crazy. So I'm going to be fairly aggressive this year. Okay. Just making money sounds good to me right now.
There you go. Okay. All right. Great summary there. Okay. Cattle inventory report. January 1 inventory down 0.6%. Trade was looking for down 0.9%. We go through some of the other numbers, but the big miss on the trade expectations were the beef replacement heifers. We came in at down 1%. Trade was looking for up 1.3%. What are your thoughts?
Well, a little confused myself, I guess. I was with the trade. I'm looking for a little bit more herd expansion, but I kind of wonder if this isn't just a touch misleading too, though, because I am hearing from some guys that they are keeping heifers back, and I'm definitely thinking that they're keeping cows back. And what I mean by that is, you know, usually this time of year, you're preg checking cows, and anything that's open, you're selling, right? Well, do you know what it costs to replace that cow you sell?
Right.
I think there's a lot more guys just not selling those cows. So it's a bullish number, I think, the report is, but I'm hearing guys are keeping heifers back, and I know the economics don't suggest it, Chip, but I think what's the problem is there's experts like me over the last 4 years have told them, you got to sell the heifers. Well, eventually the herd gets smaller, and they're telling me, I got to keep heifers back. I've sold too many cows, and I want to rebuild my herd back up with a younger cow. So I think they are keeping some heifers back. And the cattle on feed report recently just kind of suggested that. There's less heifers on feed right now.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why when we get this beef replacement number, It is a head scratcher. I we talk about fading the cattle on feed report. This feels like an inventory report that might get faded a bit, huh?
I do too. I think so over the weekend, and that's why they release these reports on Friday afternoon. Maybe I tend to forget by Monday morning.
Yeah. You know, we sat back a bit in the February contract, February live cattle contract this week, but we're still 204.60, dude. What an impressive market.
Yeah. It's fun. And I'm so happy for the cattle guys. Once it breached 200, Chip, I started telling people this is what I think is the start of the parabolic top. And let me try to explain that. Parabolic meaning it's going to be fast, and I think the top is narrowing in on a time frame. I think we're actually fairly close to it. Can I pick the high? Oh my God, no. If I could pick the high, you and I would have been fishing a long time ago, on an island or something. But anyway, I digress. The parabolic, what I mean though is I think we're close to a high, but I could be $15 off yet. Yeah. I mean, Packers are just desperate. They could blow the top off this thing. There's no chart resistance, nothing. But man, am I nervous, Chip. I'm really pushing put options, LRP. That's not, you don't have to buy those when you think the high's in. Buy them and hope they're a waste of money and let the market go higher.
Right. Good stuff, buddy. Good stuff, man. I sure appreciate you making time for us, and I really appreciate the conversation. Thanks, man.
Hey, anytime. Thanks for having me, Chip.
You bet. Dwayne Bussey, Bolt Marketing up in Britton, South Dakota. Just a really sensible conversation there with Dwayne, and looking at, you know, how do you, when you bottom line it with, I just want to make some money. I love that.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. 800-659-7540. That's 800-659-7540.
There's a price war in the insurance business, and you may be paying too much. Call the Term Lifeline right now and see if you can save 40%. $500,000 plans and up, that's our specialty. Even great smokers rates. Protect your family today. Call the Term Lifeline right now for a free quote. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM. 866-549-TERM.
This sandwich is not just spicy, it's flavorful.
Hi, this is Patayo.
And this is Elsa.
And a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Grilled Spicy Deluxe Sandwich is that spicy kick.
Because the spice comes in at just the right moment.
Oh, no, no, no.
A little thing I love is that cilantro lime sauce. It's a fun blend of zesty and bold. That's what really makes me happy. Are you going to eat all your fries?
Order a Chick-fil-A Grilled Spicy Deluxe Sandwich and a Diet Dr. Pepper on the Chick-fil-A app for a limited time. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
For the 2025 Commodity Classic, with technology that moves faster than fluctuating markets and information as important as a million-dollar rain. Commodity Classic is designed for growers of all kinds, where you'll broaden your horizons as you improve yield and ROI one bushel at a time. Take your operation to new heights and join us for Elevating Excellence in Agriculture, March 2nd through 4th in Denver. Learn more at commodityclassic.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Little Ted Nugent to take us into the weekend on your Friday afternoon here on AgriTalk. Your pal, Davis Michelson. There's Chip Lorre. He's fired up. I'm fired up. We hope you are too, planet Earth. So glad to be here. Glad you're here with us.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. You got me fired up now.
And I say that with no fear of hyperbole, amigo. You're welcome, planet Earth. We're here for you. We hear you. Oh, we don't see you, but we hear you.
That's
well,
right.
We would.
If you would, yeah.
Moving on. Okay. Good conversation there, because we need to get into this. Good conversation there with Dwayne. Talking about the funds. We're very excited about corn. Hey, maybe we got something going here. We're very excited about fat cattle. Wow! Yep. 200 plus. Who's going to be buying longs in the summertime in corn? What happens if they get the creeps and decide, you know what? Yeah, we came and... saw, and now we're done.
Yep, that's the whole reason that I made the comment about, but you run out of time on some of these market factors. You can go all the way back to January 10 and say, you know what, we got reports that changed the attitude of the market, but does it matter at this point? Has it already been factored in? Do we need to do any more work to account for those changes that we got January 10, starting to argue that no, we don't. From this point forward, it is what it is on the supply side of the balance sheets, and we just need to go forward and figure out what it's going to be on demand and how it's all going to impact carryover at the end of the day. So it's time to move on to other issues, and. When that happens, if the funds are as heavily positioned as they are on the long side of corn, on the long side of cattle, you got to find more feed for the bulls. Yep. And that can be tough to do when you've been feeding them as long as we've been feeding these bull markets.
That's interesting. Okay, because it felt like the worm kind of turned not very long ago, dude. I don't, maybe not so much in cattle. Here's the thing.
Now wait.
Okay. Yeah.
Corn has been since August. It has been a grind higher since August.
I'm going to need to look because I feel like in conversations, and not you necessarily, but that date keeps getting pushed back. First it was October, then it was September, and now you're saying August.
August.
Okay,
August
I'm willing 20, to buy it, but I am going to pull up the chart.
August 27th was the low.
Okay, very good.
August 27th.
That helps me. Yep.
There you go.
All right. So it has been a while.
Yeah. And then cattle, geez, you can put a three-year chart on the screen, and it's still bottom left to top right.
Yeah.
That is a market that is long in the tooth.
Huh. Okay. I guess the question comes back to what we started at here. Is it long in the tooth if the funds don't say it's long in the tooth?
Well, good point.
Until they say so. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in many ways, when you get the funds as heavily loaded up as they are, it's their world. We're playing in it, and they're deciding the rules.
Yeah, indeed.
If all of a sudden they decide, you know what, it's time to step out of these long positions, boy, look out, because that could get ugly for no apparent. You know what? You could get a bullish forecast out of Central Brazil and still see a market down sharply if the funds just decide. No, it's time to get out of corn.
And I don't know that we'd get much notice from that, and it'd probably be a fairly quick cascade, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you know, heads up, it did gap lower today. It did gap lower, and it left that gap open through the close in the March contract. So that might be one of the things that the funds are looking at. You know, just kind of a the simplest of a sell signal. Is that enough to get the guys into liquidation mode? It'll be interesting to see come Sunday night.
Yeah, for sure. Do you like what he wants to do on strategy here on soybeans?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I go back to a conversation that we had with Garrett Toy earlier this week. He called bean prices a gift.
Yeah.
Yep. And so when you hear Dwayne talk about, you know, it's nobody's doing cartwheels over selling these bean prices. But when you look at the fundamental situation, is the reality that beans are overpriced? So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if I want to get that aggressive with it, but the bean market has done more than what I thought it could do. When you go all the way back to that December low that we had in beans.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that at the end of January we'd be a buck above that, I wouldn't have bought in on that.
Yeah.
No way.
Well, and rewarding the market right now isn't necessarily about getting filthy rich. It's about getting something done here, moving some beans to town, and then maybe, you know, try something on paper afterwards. Try and re-own it if you want to get crazy with it, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we're not telling anybody to go all in.
Right. Just take some risk off the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. It's about keeping that risk balanced in such a way that you're comfortable and you can get some sleep at night with the risk that you've got. Hey, guys, look at those short dated options that Dwayne was talking about. They're a really good strategy to get you through a key time period without having to pay for all the time value in that new crop option. So if you're looking for some downside risk protection in corn and beans to get you to the end of February, look at those March options, okay? Those short-dated March new crop options. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for February 6th through the 10th. Below normal temperatures in the western and northern production areas, near normal to above normal in the southern and eastern production areas, near normal to above normal precipitation across the entire Corn Belt. 8 to 14 day February 8th through the 14th. Below normal temperatures continuing to push into the central and eastern belt. pushing those above normal temperatures further south and above normal across the entire Corn Belt. Thanks for listening this week. We got Machine Repeat on Monday morning right here on AgriTalk. Have a great weekend.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The White House today announcing President Trump plans to impose 25% tariffs starting tomorrow on goods from Mexico and Canada and 10%